Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Hope everyone has enjoyed their weekend and having a great Monday. So, Joe, you know, a couple of really bad stories over the weekend dealing with DWI. A tragedy in Hamburg, right by Route 5, took the life of an 8-year-old child. A man arrested. He fled the scene, attempting to hide in a backyard nearby. Ended up being caught. He's charged with DWI, vehicular manslaughter, leaving the scene of an auto accident. Previously charged with driving without a license. There was a report from back in 2018 that showed his license had been suspended or revoked over a dozen times. Now, I don't know if that's for DWI or for whatever, but there's been a history here of this person and an absolute tragedy. A day later, over in Lockport, another person who... I don't know how this person fled the scene after seeing the image of this.
Yeah.
Was it a truck? I mean, it's a heap of metal.
It was a Jeep, right?
Oh, yeah, that is what it looks like. But just a heap of metal rolled over, struck a utility pole after hitting a home on Ridge Road over in Lockport and facing a DWI charge. He also fled the scene, was found using a drone. How about that? 26-year-old driver. Two DWI cases that are getting a lot of attention over the weekend, and I'm wondering if it has changed anybody's mind to what exactly we should do about it. Somebody's already on our textbook before we even began the show talking about some of these DWI cases. We've talked before, Joe, about some of the different things proposed. And earlier this morning, we spoke with Western New York Stop DWI about some of these, and found it interesting, actually. John Sullivan, who's the director of the Erie County Stop DWI office, when I brought up to him the lowering of the minimum BAC, which is a bill that's been kicked around in Albany. They want to go from 0.08 to 0.05.
That's right.
And he kind of said that he doesn't believe that's going to have much of an impact. He said the average the usual DWI that they get is something like 0.16. It's twice the legal limit. So it's not really, you know, catching people on the low end isn't, in his mind, doing a whole lot. But whether it's lowering that BAC legal limit, installing one of these ignition lock systems in every car, right? That's something talked about on the federal level, that there are people who in the future want every single car sold to have one of these ignition interlock systems that would detect in some way, whether that's through a breathalyzer or something else, would detect alcohol on you, on the driver, before you get going in the car, and if there was there, the car wouldn't start. We've talked about this before, and I'm wondering, 803-0930, for people out there listening, does a weekend like what we just saw and these stories like what you've heard throughout the morning here on WBEN, does it in any way change your thinking into doing more? Because we've done this show before, Joe, and... you know, when not having this fresh in our minds, you have something like the ignition interlock system, and my immediate reaction is, right? And we've all said this before, like, you know, it's we all agree drinking and driving's bad, but I don't know if you really want to do more. And then after this weekend, I have to say, it absolutely does weigh on your mind. I don't know if it completely changes my mind on things, but... you could convince me after a weekend like this that something more needs to be done.
Let's look at the Hamburg situation, right? Tragic. An 8-year-old is dead after this. But this is a driver who continuously doesn't follow the law. I mean, maybe look at how we punish people who've had issues with their license, right? I mean, as coming from someone who's had issues with their license, Brian, you know, after so many times, this guy shouldn't have gotten his driver's license back. Now, I know the pushback on that will be, well, Joe, he's driven without his driver's license before. What's going to stop him now? But these are obviously people who don't follow the law. So changing the BAC, to me, doesn't do anything. These are people who are going to break the law. This is a reckless driver, repeated reckless driver, offender. In my opinion, maybe shouldn't have even had his license if he did. I'm not sure he had his license back when this happened. But, you know, obviously, you look at this, you're like, oh my gosh, we've got to do something. And it's tragic. But I think with all the laws you could have put in the books, this would have happened. So you go to the breathalyzer in every car, right? Does this still happen with that technology in the car? You would like to think no, but if there's one thing people know what to do, it's find ways around anything, and especially those who continuously break the law.
803-0930. I mean, that you do kind of come back to that, right? Because you can talk about a tougher sentence, and the tougher sentence wouldn't necessarily be taking away the license, right?
It would be putting one of these in his car.
Well, or that, I would be putting the person in jail.
Yeah.
Can't drive if you're behind bars.
That's right.
You can. I mean, what you said, Joe, is I think totally right, that, you know, here's a person who has been driving without a license or with a suspended license before. There's nothing that's really going to stop you from doing that. If you're going to do, right?
Right.
Like the only way you get stopped is if you get stopped.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, it will be against the law, but it would be against the law to drive drunk, right? Even with a license. So that only goes to prevent so much from happening. Can you stop somebody from owning a car? Yeah. I mean, but again, that only goes so far.
Right.
It kind of comes down to this ignition interlock system, this breathalyzer system in the car, that I think a lot of people are like me. You agree with the end result. You don't have any problem with the goal. There's something about, right, having that thing in your car that you start to worry about and say, I don't know, is this getting a little too much big brother on me, right?
I completely agree. And I would say this. I would disagree. Again, what did I do wrong to have this put into my car? But you can't do both. If you're going to put the breathalyzer interlock thing in everyone's car, you can't go down to 0.05, right? I think that is an extreme measure. If you do, I think doing either is extreme. But if you do both, in my opinion, that's extreme. But like I said, going to 0.05 would not have changed either of these incidents over the weekend.
We'll go to the phones, 803-0930, if you want to weigh in. What should be done? Does a weekend like this change your mind at all? We'll go to Frank in Buffalo. Frank, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
We lost Frank?
We lost Frank. I don't know how that happened, but we lost him. 803-0930, if you want to make a text or a phone call on our text board this morning. Somebody says, make all DWIs a felony. No plea deals. Interlock devices only work if it's actually the person blowing into it, right? I mean, I'm sure there are ways to get around it.
Yeah.
Much like there are ways, like, I don't know how that works. You know, when we're talking about installing them on every new car as an automatic feature, right? Like, there is a big question of how that works. Like, and I hate to be the person to put out there, you know, this it's slight inconvenience, but unless it is something that kind of works automatically without you taking an extra step, it's going to have a lot of blowback. There's going to be a lot of people who don't like that idea.
Right.
Of, you know, okay, I got to do this before you turn the car on. If it's something that automatically does it, okay, maybe I'd be open to it. If it does it automatically, how do you know it's not sensing another, you know, person in the car or passenger? It opens up a whole can of worms.
Now, this guy in Hamburg, he did have a prior DWI or just prior traffic violations?
I don't know. Just prior. His license had been suspended over a dozen times before.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, how many? I don't think you should. This is gonna. Maybe you get one, But you get a DWI, I think it should be a bigger suspension of your license. I think it should be more, obviously. I mean, how many times do we hear of people getting multiple DWI, pulled over multiple times before their license finally gets taken away for good? And multiple suspensions. You know, Brian, I had my license suspended more than 10 years ago. If my license ever got suspended again, they should take it away from me. Like, we do need to be a little more serious about traffic violations. These are, repeat offenders are reckless drivers. Reckless driving is dangerous to literally everyone on or near a road.
Is driving a privilege? If it is,
yes.
I think you'd, you know, agree with what Joe just said. We'll go to the phones. Jeff in Kenmore. Jeff, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, I just don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I could swear DWIs are down from like the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, that they're down as far as DWI numbers as a whole. But I think there's a bigger problem with prescription drugs. Legal, you know, like legal prescriptions. Not someone taking someone else's pills, someone having their own prescription and driving and alcohol. So that's first of all. Second of all, lowering the number, there's already charges for lower convictions. Everyone focuses on DWI, 0.8, whatever the number is. But there's DWAI, there's DUIs, right, which are lesser charges, 0.05, 0.0. There's already charges on the books. So people just focus on the one charge, which is DWI, a full-blown DWI. When I run people's motor vehicle records and suspensions, people get their license suspended for all types of things, not paying a parking ticket. Or, I mean, not parking ticket, but not paying a violation they used to do. Child support, not paying, not driving, or not keeping your insurance. So people will drive anyway. See, they'll find a girlfriend, they'll find a friend, they'll find a relative, and they drive their car regardless. And then putting these breathalyzers in everybody's car when 98% of people don't even have a problem is an unneeded expense. It's very expensive. Who's maintaining these things? It's a nightmare. So
what do you do?
You can't solve every problem. You think you can get 100% to stop. It's not going to happen. You have enforcement. You try to stop. You know, you're not even allowed to profile and have a cop sit outside a bar, right? You're not supposed to do that. You can't solve every problem. People are going to drive anyway. You know, it's more enforcement on lowering the DWI to a lower number when they're not even pulling those people over anyway. And doing, I don't understand the. I mean, I don't drink and drive. And in fact, if I was someone's going to do it, and I was with a friend who wasn't drinking, I'd have them blow into the thing, and I'd drive anyway, right? You could have someone else put their mouth over the thing and do it and drive away. See, there's so many ways.
And that should, and what you do is you make that illegal. Like, if you provide...
Illegal. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it, how do they even know who did it? See,
yeah,
there's too much, you can't solve all these problems with more regulation. You can't. You enforce it. You try to do the best you can. There's going to be some bad circumstances. You're going to have to accept that the outcome that people are not everyone's going to follow the rules. Not everyone, and you can't enforce it. So you're going to ruin 98% of other people's lives with this device in the car that's going to cost thousands of dollars every year to maintain and have it regulated. And now you go to a concert and you come out and you breathe in a thing. It's not working. Now your car doesn't work because this breathalyzer thing doesn't work because they have to be calibrated.
Jeff, I'll say this. I agree that you can't over-regulate everything. You can't just
that's
make...
That's what's going on.
But, however...
That's what you're suggesting.
That's not what I'm suggesting. Okay. What I'm suggesting is that you're more... That the punishment is more, right? So you don't have someone on the road. I don't care why your license was suspended. If your license is suspended a certain number of times, I think that's a privilege that you have lost. I think there should be more for traffic violations. And again, this is someone who was not the best driver. And I think if you get a DWI, it shouldn't be the kind of thing where, oh, in so many days you get your license back. I think it should be a much tougher process to get your license back, even just after one. I'm sorry, that's a mistake that no one should be caught making.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with it.
So I'm not for making more regulation. I'm not for making your life more difficult. I'm for people like this guy in Hamburg. Should he have ever been back behind the wheel? Again, this is just off some information that we have. I would say that we need to look more into how we're punishing people when they get pulled over and when they have a suspended license.
I want to say, Jeff, thanks for the call, and I agree with... It's a tough thing because I hear Jeff and I kind of generally agree with what he has to say.
Yeah.
You can't control everything in life. You can't.
No.
You know, it's what we were just saying, Joe, right? When you can take away somebody's license, if you still have arms, legs, and, you know, eyes and ears, you can still drive a car,
yeah.
Right? Like, people drive without a license all the time. You can only control what you can control. I take a little bit of an issue to, you know, what he said with, you know, putting one of these interlock devices in every car. You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's ruining your life or ruining everybody else's life. I think that's a little bit of a hyperbole. But I do generally agree with the fact that you'd be imposing something and thinking more to the other point that he made of it is another thing on your car, something already expensive to maintain that you would have to maintain and keep up with.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about these devices, Joe, but I'm going to assume it's not just a set it and forget it type thing. That's something that will have to be calibrated constantly, that it'd have to be, you know, I don't know, you replace a battery on the thing, however it is.
It's a new part of your inspection.
You'd have to continue to maintain that. All right. You know, I agree. It would be somewhat of a burden on everybody else who's following the law. So where do you meet in between? And I think that's what you kind of get here with what you're suggesting. And I think, in a way, what I would suggest too, and what we've said in the past, that, okay, maybe if you have two DWIs, you always have to have that in your car for the rest of time. If you have, maybe it's if you have one, you have to have that in your car. If you have two, you don't get a
license.
Car.
Yeah. Are not allowed to buy a car.
Is that a reasonable reaction? One more,
I'm not all for like more government, but I'm sorry, like DWI should be taken very seriously. I mean, and this is why.
One more before the break, we'll go to Joe in East Aurora. You're on WBEN. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, to beat the breathalyzer in the car, when you're sober, you blow up a balloon, have it in your car, then when you get in your car drunk, you let some air escape from the balloon into the breathalyzer, and your car starts and you can go. So you can always beat anything. There's always a way to get around it.
All right, Joe. I want to have just a little bit of more faith, and maybe I'm wrong for doing that.
Yeah.
Does that sound like the craziest thing ever?
I mean, it does, but I'm sure people will do whatever they can to start that car. That will be and there will be people that will know someone. They'll know a buddy. Hey, can you fix this for me? And then on inspection day, hey, can you take that off while I take it to the mechanic? Or they'll just take the person who knew how to fix mm-hmm. it to get their inspection. But can I just say this? I understand. You know,
here's what I like to think. If you're at a point where you're taking a balloon out of the back seat and hooking it up to a device in your car to start the car, somewhere in that process, even though you're inebriated, I would like to think that in your head you go, wait a second.
Yeah.
Let me do something else other than this.
Yeah.
Is something to the barrier between thought and action that I like to think works. That, you know, an extra 30 seconds to think something through can prevent you from doing something stupid.
A moment of clarity?
A moment to just... So it's not just a, you know what I mean? I'd like to think that works too. 803-0930 if you want to weigh in on the discussion. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN. Welcome back. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. And we're talking about a couple of stories this weekend. Tragic story, another sad story involving DWI. In one case over in Hamburg, resulting in the death of an 8-year-old. And we want to know if it's kind of bringing the discussion back into the forefront of your brain. It's one we've had before. You know, proposals have come up, whether it's on the federal level, whether it's on the state level, of different ways to change how we approach DWI, make it harder for people to drive drunk, or at least make people think twice about it. In the state legislature, they've talked about lowering the legal limit from 0.08 to 0.05. On a federal level, there's been a lot of talk about having a mandatory ignition interlock system installed in all cars. What about you? 803-0930, we're taking your comments on this. And I want to get to this one in particular, Joe, that somebody texted in over the break. Someone saying they want to put the solution where the problem started. And they point to bars. And I'll get to my point in a second. But I want to read this person's text, who said, "You must relinquish your keys at all bars and restaurants when you order your first drink, then submit to a breathalyzer before receiving your keys back. It would stop over-drinking at bars. And a new law that you'd have to do that before leaving the establishment." Now, it's a novel idea. I understand. I don't even want to necessarily say it's a bad idea. You know, it's an idea that might work. I'm sure, you know what, that there is a bar somewhere that does this.
Yes.
There probably are quite a few across the country. I guarantee you there are bars that do this. I just want to speak out, though, in defense of the bars. Like, I feel like a lot of times when you talk about DWI, people go to, you know, they immediately think of the bars.
Right.
To me, this is not a problem about the bars. Right? You can have a drink anywhere.
That's my thought. Like, I would argue most DWIs are people coming from maybe a house party more than a bar.
You could go to any house party. You could go any concert venue. Indoors or outdoor. Festival. That go church at the Lawn Fete.
Yep.
The movie theater now, right? I mean, there are so many different... I don't want to frame this as a bar problem. And that's not to say that this person texting in has like a bad idea or anything. I just think it's not just, we tend to frame it as, oh, it's a problem with the bars. Like people are, you're out at the bar and you're drinking. It does not have to be that way. And I would say it's probably not always that.
I would say
maybe most of the time it's not that way of wherever a person was. So I guess that's my only counterpoint. Not that it's a bad idea. It's just, you can't focus all your attention on one industry, because it's more than just one industry.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that strain on bars either, because I don't think even half of it comes from bars. It's people, you know, at a friend's house, people at home, and, you know,
someone... At the charity 5K.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The beers that flow after a run.
Like, but, like, it's not just the bar. So I just wanted to get that point out there. I, again, don't think it was a bad message sent in, but...
You got to be smart, you know? I mean, and I always bring this up, Brian. It is so much easier to get a ride today, even in some of the rural parts of New York State, than it was just 15, 20 years ago. This next weekend, my wife and I are going to a wedding. Now, there's a chance we don't drink that much at all, right? But why even bring a car to flirt with that risk, which we wouldn't, but why even? So you know what we're doing? We get a ride down there. Mm-hmm. We're going to Uber or Lyft it back. You know, and that at least gives you the peace of mind. You can have as much fun as you want at the wedding, and then you don't have to worry about having those keys to the car if you have one too many. I think taking away even the option when you're sober is the way to go. And I think just too many people either don't want to do that, or too many people think, I'm okay. And you know, I'd rather spend an extra $30 than maybe I wasn't okay. Maybe that my judgment was off. Because it's tragic. And you know, the Hamburg story is unfortunately one of many. But it does come down to people, you know, looking in the mirror and just being honest with yourself. Again, making those decisions before you have a drink.
On that ignition interlock system, because that's what we've been kind of talking about the most here as one of the things that might make the most sense if you're really looking to crack down. I've had a lot of text messages into our text board and to me as pros and cons. I've had people who know people who have this installed in their car, and they say it's the greatest, that it should happen to everybody who has a DWI offense, one or two, that it should be installed in there.
I agree.
For forever going forward. And I wouldn't disagree with that. A lot of other people are talking about, and this is someone who has a little bit of background. They said the current Intox-a-Lock system requires you to blow to start the vehicle. In addition, it beeps randomly every 5 to 15 minutes while driving, requiring you to blow into the device again. Every time you do that, it takes a picture of the inside of the vehicle to make sure that you are the one. Oh, you're not using a balloon, like one caller might have said. You're the one doing it. This is why it costs a lot of money to install, and you have a daily fee and all of this stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if you need, if you're going to expand it, I don't know if you need it to be as involved. Is that?
If it's something that is in everyone's car, yeah.
This would not fly as something in everyone's car. It would have to be something different than that.
But I do believe after one DWI, this should be mandatory in your car when you get your car back.
But if you're going to do that, is that overboard? Like, is that too much?
No, because you've already proven you can't be trusted.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I feel silly asking the question that should tell me my answer. Right? Yeah. But like, it does, like, I'm trying to picture myself driving and every like 7 minutes beeping and then blowing. That could be a little distracting. I mean,
it amazes me that getting pulled over and having to go through a sobriety test once doesn't scare people out of drinking and driving. You know, I had that. Mm-hmm. You had four cars with their light spotlights on you as you're taking every test in the book, you know, your pinky on your nose, just to find out, no, I was going a little fast, but I was not. not intoxicated. You know, they finally just gave me the breathalyzer at the end. I'm surprised that doesn't scare more people. I never want that attention on me again. And just more cars coming up, shining another spotlight on you.
Yeah. We'll go to the phones, 803-0930. Mark in Hamburg, you're on WBEN. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. I have a 9-year-old son. It breaks my heart to hear that this tragedy happened. I do want to say that, you know, our governments waste a lot of money, state, federal, local. And the thing to me is, you know, you get a DWI, let alone two of them, you should automatically be mandated to have a tracking device on your vehicle. Unless you're at work and it's proven that, you know, hey, you know, somebody can call that employer to make sure that person is at work, functions soberly. But I'm sorry, but when you're out of that job, and if you're traveling to Tops or to stores or doing whatever, you need to be inconvenienced. You need to be inconvenienced because you need to check in 2-3 times a day until it's proven that, you know, you are not an alcoholic and you are not a danger on the road. If somebody should be, you know, we got these Simply Safe alarm systems where people are tracking and monitoring, you know, your homes and everything else. Why can't we use that technology for this kind of incident? You get two DWIs, even one, you get a tracking device on your car. You have to check in a couple times a day. It needs to be proven that you are not out there drinking and driving.
Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I'm still thinking about the first thing you said. You know, the story over the week, it breaks your heart and it makes you think about things differently.
Yes.
When it hits closer to home, it makes you think about things differently. And almost in the same way, Joe, I think that if there were to be a harsher penalty, if you knew somebody then who got one of those harsher penalties, how could it not, you know, similar to what you were saying, you know, if you've ever experienced being pulled over,
yeah,
how could it not make you think differently about that? Right? Like, if you know somebody who, you know, whatever that penalty is, who, you know, now has to have one of these devices in their cars all the time, who, or, you know, have prison time for a DWI, yes, something you don't really see, would that not make you think differently?
Yeah.
You know, for some people, the answer is no. Okay. And like one of our callers in the last segment said, you are never going to 100% solve everything. And I agree with that. Okay. We're never going to 100% solve everything. But to what the last caller said, you spend this much money, you've got a $200 billion yearly budget in the state. Should we not try to, and a governor, by the way, who says, my job is to keep you safe.
Right.
Like, that's the, you know, her description of being the governor. Should we not try something and see if it works a little bit better than what we have?
Yeah. Try, you know, DWI, harsher penalty. And I think you're right. I think if I knew somebody, and I mean, again, like I said, for me, it was the sobriety test a few years ago. I mean, with every spotlight on you, I mean, it scares the heck out of you. But yeah, I'm all for harsher penalties, especially on that on any DWI. I don't think we should wait for, oh, the second, the third, maybe we'll take the car away. No, the first one, take the bus for 4 months. Okay, and then maybe you'll get your car back. You got to make the case known that this is unacceptable. And again, I will go back to, it is easier now to get a ride home than it's ever been before. There is just no excuse for this.
On the text board, somebody chiming in, how many attempts does a driver get with a breathalyzer? Do you have to wait 20 minutes between attempts? Too many unknowns, they say. This is one where it's like, you know, sometimes in life you just make a decision. You know, and I hate to put the comparison to something so trivial. We had our house painted.
Yes.
We could sit there. I think I've actually said this on the show before. We could sit there in the paint store and look at 15 million shades of gray, right? And try and decide and, you know, hmm and ha. And no, you just, that one. Like, at some point, you just got to make it. When you're talking about this, you know, how much time to... Don't know, don't care. The idea is to have it in there. The car doesn't start. Does it beep every 5 minutes? Does it do it? I don't know. Someone will make the decision after, you know, about that. Does it take a picture? Does it not? Doesn't matter. Like, the whole objective is to get one of those in the car.
Right.
Because we're trying to send a message here that we take this very seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that at some point, you just got to start making the decision. So that's... You know, that all these questions of like, well, what does it do this? Does it do that? I don't know. Just make a rule and figure it out. Make the decision, and that'll be what happens.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard.
And you get that thing in your car for the rest of your life. Like, I don't think there's a, well, you know, they've been good for 5 years. No. This is a mistake you made. I do believe DWI, especially when we're talking about 0.15, 0.2, this is something... That, you know, I'm sorry, you cannot be trusted. I don't care if you got it when you're 30 and you're 50 now, you cannot be trusted. This is in every car you buy to the day you die.
Somebody's saying, oh, what if there's a mandatory evacuation, like a hurricane? You can't leave because you started drinking. Well, I hope you're friends with the neighbor.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, these are the consequences of, right? The consequence is not the device in the car so much as it is everything else that happens.
Yep.
You know, it failed. Whose fault is it?
Yeah.
Who is it? The person who made you put the device in the car? That's you.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You are the person who has to have this device in the car. And yes, you know what? If I'm the judge, I say, you know what? These things aren't perfect. It might fail sometimes. Sorry.
Also, I don't know if the hurricane that just appears all of a sudden, you have to evacuate that minute.
Yeah.
Like, he probably had some money.
Whoa.
What? There's a Cat 5 here. Where did this come from?
Who knows? somebody else saying these people will never drive their own cars after getting arrested. The interlocking device talk is again, you're not going to solve every problem. But like this also, you know, to say, well, this person will just drive somebody else's car. And so it goes back to the point I was making, I think, right before the break. Okay, you know, maybe, oh, somebody else blows into it, or, oh, they're driving somebody else's car, or what? You are putting barriers in between. Yep. Again, you know, comparing this to something trivial. Right, you listen to our financial reports all the time, and it's all the last 5 years has been about how we're in so much debt because we can't stop spending our money.
Right.
And you'll hear things that sound so stupid, but it's kind of true. Like, hey, you're shopping online, like maybe just put it in your cart and then go away and revisit it a day later. And if you still really want the, you know, blender with the coffee beans that shoot up from the middle, you know, whatever it is that you're going to buy off some website, well, then, okay, go buy it. But just give yourself the extra time and wait and think it over. And that's basically what this is. Like, the same theory applies. You put a couple more hurdles in there, right? And they show this, by the way. Another reason we're spending so much more, one tap, click to pay, and then all of a sudden, right? Like you buy something on your phone with Apple Pay. It's so easy, as opposed to putting in all your credit card information and then putting in your shipping information. And you know what they find that people do, and why so many people are or so many sites have the just, oh, pay with Apple Pay or pay with PayPal one tap, is because when people do that, they think about it and then they back out of the purchase.
Yep.
It actually happens. And what I'm kind of saying is the same theory applies. Like, look, it's not that you're stopping 100% of these purchases, right? But if you put enough time or enough hurdle in between you thinking, hey, I'm going to do this bad decision, and then actually taking action on it, there is some time in there to think, hey, hang on, actually, I'm not going to.
Yep.
You're never going to stop 100% of it. Completely agree. There's no reason, I think, why you can't put a few more hurdles in there to stop tragedies like this from happening.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I mean, I'm on the you get one DWI. I don't care how old you were when you got it. These are the consequences. These are what you will have to do. You'll have to have the interlocking thing.
What is this? Like, again, this person just texted in. Typical millennials want the government to fix these problems with legislation. How about we enforce laws and make these people have actual consequences for drinking and driving?
That's what we're saying.
This is the actual consequence.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. It has nothing to do with more laws. It's consequences for those who broke the law.
It's consequences for the law that's on the books.
Yes.
You need to actually have them. It's literally exactly what we're talking about.
I think they tuned in last minute, and they think they understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Can I say one thing off topic, Brian, before we get out of here?
No.
I saw something that struck me as strange this morning. I want to know if it strikes you as strange. 4:18, I'm driving into work at Klein and Hopkins. It's 53 degrees outside. It's 4:18. There is a man on a motorcycle. It just shocked me.
Nah.
I thought it was too cold for a motorcycle.
No. Once I think, and look, I don't ride a motorcycle. Once you have it out,
it's game?
I think so.
Okay.
Like, I think in the springtime, you roll that out, the weather's nice. As long as it's not raining, I think that's your method of transportation. You put on a jacket.
Yeah.
Actually, it probably feels nice. Wakes you up.
It just, I mean, 4:18, I was just like, whoa, is that a motorcycle just sped right by
you? You never see a motorcycle on the way to work?
Not when it was 53 degrees. In the middle of the summer, yeah. Because sometimes you still have, you know, college kids on break riding around.
I think once you've taken it out, like, that's your mode of transportation from now until, unless it's pouring rain, sometimes even if it is, until the end of the nice weather.
Yeah, you'll never catch me on a motorcycle, but I'm glad it's out and you're enjoying summer.
I saw the deer on the way over, and it's like, you know, come on. I'm not going to call anyone out, but the bush shrubbery along Twin City getting a little growth. We could use that being cut back a little bit. Can't see what's coming, and there's a bunch of deer feeding on it. Just putting that out there.
I always, as soon as I pull out of my complex, Brian, every morning, I just see like three or four deer. They're right across from where you get on the roll, and then it's not rare for me to see at every stop sign deer, or between every stop sign. They're not just standing at the stop sign.
That's a lot.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, roll on decline from my place to North Forest. I don't go that far without seeing deer.
We have deer in the neighborhood that have become so domesticated. I swear, I've seen that. This was a year ago. I saw one of them walking. It walks on the sidewalks and then look both ways at the intersection. I swear I saw that happen. We'll be back here tomorrow. You got David Bellavia, Tom Bowerly coming up after the news with Lucas on WBEN.